Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
So like we Sunday, try to get the children's praise team up and at least try to do it at least every other. We don't want to go any. And Saturdays also, they do Saturday and Sunday. Saturday's always a good dress rehearsal. Yeah, it is a service, of course, but it's good for them to get practice twice. That's what I mean. Dress rehearsal for them. But okay, so all the kids that are going downstairs, you ready, Sister Sylvia? Okay. You might have to. Hey, Kiki, stay here. Sure. I know. She's all in a certain something of everything. Yeah, don't do it on her account. She don't know that much difference. She ain't that savvy yet. She likes to think she is, but she's not. Amen. All right. So we want to try to close out this message on wisdom. And see what God is going to say to us today. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word, because it's through your word that we become wise. It's not through our own learning. It's not through our own abilities. Your word says, Lord, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is the beginning of understanding. So we understand that we have to be spiritually minded to be wise people. So, Lord, I pray that you would teach us how to walk in the wisdom that comes from you. And we thank you for your word, because it's through your word that we obtain all the things that we need in this life. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. I want to read, this is actually not on my scripture list, but as I was praying, this passage came to me. So I want to read from Ephesians chapter 1, I think it's verse 20. Actually, it starts at 15. It says, therefore, excuse me, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And I want to concentrate on the part where he says that God may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. Now, that it says so much, but it goes to what I want to say today. So the final question, we've looked at all these people, and I was going to go through a whole list. I was going to go through Samuel, David, Solomon, as examples of people who received the wisdom of God, not because of their great learning, but because of God's great mercy. Then Daniel, we all know, a man of great insight and revelation. But the bottom line is how do we get wisdom? How do we become wise people? And that prayer that Paul said that God would give us the spirit of wisdom. So as we started out and as we're ending, wisdom comes from God. God, and you can almost, this is almost an insult, but it's a truth. God is the smartest person on the planet. I said that's an insult because we shouldn't even have to say it. But his understanding, his wisdom is so vast, we can't even fathom what he knows. I mean, we think we know something when we figure out some formula. Like Einstein, you know, they've exalted Einstein because he came up with a formula. But he couldn't even keep his family relationships together. So he had knowledge, but not wisdom. And that's what the world has always confused, is knowledge and wisdom. And God, wisdom is, and this is what, as I was preparing this lesson, this gave me this definition. Wisdom is spiritual understanding that gives you insight into both spiritual and natural matters. And the key is not just spiritual, but natural. When you understand spiritual truth, it opens up natural things. And the world has constantly pursued natural wisdom to try to obtain spiritual truth. And you can't get it that way. It's not possible for the natural to cross into the spiritual. But it's not only possible, but it works this way. The spiritual always crosses into the natural. Because everything God does is spiritual. But every result the Spirit creates works in the natural. Think just of our salvation. God spoke a spiritual truth, and that is, if you accept Jesus as your Savior, believe that in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And from that truth spoken, as we accept it, it transforms our natural life. It transforms the way we think. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that truth helps us to learn how to not only discern spiritual things, but natural things. So, wisdom is the understanding or the insight we get that comes from God's revelation to us. And let's look at just a couple of small examples. Let's look at what we commonly refer to as the golden rule. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. And it is in other places, but this is the one that I've memorized. It says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now, you might say, okay, Pastor, why is that so wise? Well, think about it. First of all, it tells us that if we do unto men as we want them to do unto you, we're fulfilling what God has required us to fulfill. Okay? But in addition to that, the Bible also says Be not deceived. God is not mocked by whatsoever a man what? Sows, what? He will also reap. So if you do unto others as you would have them do unto you, what are you going to reap in that case? Yeah, you're going to reap the same. People are going to do unto you what they have as you have done unto them. Or not necessarily that group of people that you've done, but God will cause people to do the same thing to you. He will cause your favor to begin to spread by just doing that one rule that he has given us. And everybody on the planet knows the golden rule. But nobody really wants to practice it. Why? Because they think they're going to lose out. But see, you never lose out when you put the spirit ahead of the flesh. You always lose out the other way around when you put the flesh ahead of the spirit. Because the Bible says the flesh brings forth what? Death. Death comes from the flesh. So just that one, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, or as the scripture actually says it. It says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. That one rule gives you wisdom in dealing with people. Amen? You guys see it? Well, let's go to the next one. Let's go to Romans chapter 3, verse 21 through 26. Romans 3, 21 through 26. Now, one of these word passages you're going to recognize. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and all who believe. Excuse me, and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's where I want to land. Now, this is a revelation from God to tell us that all have sinned. Now, all of us know this innately, meaning on the inside, we all know we're not perfect, right? There's just something in us that tells us that we're not perfect. But the scripture articulates why we're not perfect. And it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So that one passage about people being in a sinful state, sin is another word for what? Or how does sin manifest itself most of the time? In our actions, but in selfishness. Sin is self-centered. That's really what sin is all about. It's not God-centered. Adam and Eve sinned because they didn't listen to God. They reasoned with the help of the enemy, so they used demonic reasoning, and they concluded that they knew more than God. And so they said, I'm going to try this, even though God told me not to. You with me here? And that's the root of all sin. So when God tells us, as his people, that all have sinned short of the glory of God, he's telling us to be careful, because all are selfish. Are you with me here? So now let's go back to whatever you want men to do to you, do unto them. But then you also look, well, all have sinned and are selfish. And so how do you navigate? You trust God to bring the results that he promised, which was if you will reap what you sow. So wisdom tells us also, though, to be careful. Because the one scripture, we all know this one, that's a weird scripture, be wise as serpents, but harmless as a dove. Right? What does that mean? That means be aware of what you're dealing with. And going back to Romans 3:23, be aware that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So don't be duped, is what he's trying to tell you. Because people want to trick you. They're being used by the enemy, but people want to get over on us. So we have to be, wise as a serpent. I'm not sure why he chose a serpent in that situation, and I guess because snakes are sneaky. I don't know how many movies about snakes you guys watch, but snakes are always sneaking up on people. They don't ever, because they're not very fast. Some snakes can kind of waddle away, but for the most part, they're not going to run down their prey. They have to sneak up on them, right? They're, and then they hypnotize, in some cases, their prey, and their sounds lull them into a stupor, and then they can attack. But he also said to be gentle as a dove. So you're wise so you can avoid the cunning tricks of the enemy, but you're gentle because you're not trying to then turn the tables and be the cunning one. Are you with me here? So just in this past, these two passages, God is telling us to do unto others as we would have them do unto us, and be and all that have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if we use that as information dealing with people, this will help us in our dealings. Now, think about this. Let's take Romans 3:23 and apply it to the problems of our world. The scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So what's the biggest need for our society? Salvation, or to deal with the sin problem. But now, people who are in the helping professions, if you will, like counseling and social worker, we don't want to, as they say, judge people. We just want to help them. But if the scripture says all have sinned and fallen short, and now they're in a place of need, don't you need to get back to the place where you can get them out of that fallen short part to get them so that you can help them? See, this is the foolishness of the helping professions. They don't want to tell anybody that they're sinners, but that is the very thing that's going to help them. The Holy Spirit just walked in. Are you with me here? People don't want to tell us. Everything is, well, you have to accept people. Of course you accept people. But in order to help people and get them out of their mess, you have to let them understand that they're what? In a mess. You can't fix a mess if you deny the mess is there. I mean, it's like going into an unclean room and acting like it's not unclean. Just saying, no, just sit anywhere. Anywhere? Where? don't worry about that stuff. Just sit right on top of that. I mean, when I was doing social work service, I went to the house. It was the dirtiest house I'd ever seen. And they told me to sit down, and there really literally was no place to sit. And I wouldn't sit down because they had all sorts of stuff. And I'm telling you, I was embarrassed for them. And when I see stuff like that, I want to start cleaning up. And I'm like, look, where's the broom? Let's make some room here. But they just, it didn't bother them. And that's what sin is like. It has blinded you to your need. And so all you want is a handout. But the need is never met by a handout. It's met by a transformation. People can't be helped until they're transformed on the inside. That's why all the social service in the world won't help if nobody's hearts are changed. Because no heart change, you don't have a change of life. You can make people go to school. You can get them diplomas. You can do all that stuff. But if their heart doesn't change, they're just dressed up sinners. And they may not be doing the same things, but they still have that heart hurts in their heart. People fall. We all have sinned, but people fall even lower into sin because of the heart condition that they're in. And so we have to recognize and help people to come out of those dark places. And the only light that we have is the scripture. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, if you started a counseling session with that, most counselees would get up and leave because they don't want to address. I don't want to talk about that. Well, that's the problem, though. That's the problem. So this is why I say insight comes from God. God is the one that told us that all have sinned. But he didn't leave it there. He says, I've provided a solution. Do you want the answer? And everybody said, yes, the answer. Give me the answer. Jesus is the answer. Oh, I don't want that. That's too easy. No, it's not easy to be transformed because it's a lifetime job, if you will. Process, thank you. So all have sinned and come short of the glory of God gives us the wisdom. And you might say, oh, how does that wisdom? Because it's insight. Wisdom is insight into things. And that helps you to deal with people. That helps you to understand why your boss treats you the way they treat you. Because all have sinned. And they're out to save their skin at the expense of whomever it might affect. That's why we have problems in the workplace. Because everybody's out to protect themselves. But if we applied 7:12, that wouldn't happen. Because you're doing unto others as you would what? Have them do unto you. You see how just these simple rules help you to navigate with people. Deal with people. Be a better person to deal with. Amen? Just two things, two scriptures. We're just getting started. So wisdom, we get wisdom from insights that God reveals to us. The next way we get wisdom is by doing the things the scriptures tell us to do. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, 25 through 32. Most of us know these passages. These are not, if you spend any time in the Word of God, these passages you've read many, many, many times, right? So, I have a problem with telling the truth, which is another way of saying I lie. What's the scripture say? Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So he says, stop lying. You got a problem with lying? Don't lie. Why do we lie? Goes back to Romans 3:23. Because we're all sinners. And we're all trying to protect ourselves. We lie to protect ourselves. Why did we lie? Think about it. And this is the thing about it. Think about when you were a sinner. Because sometimes I think we forget. Why did you lie when your parents were about to give you a whooping? You didn't want a whooping. So you made up a story that nobody in the world could believe, but you're telling it anyway. Yeah, I told you about the story of the wind sucking me out of the bathroom. Remember that story? That's not even a believable story. It's against gravity. But I told it to protect myself. That's why we lie. And Jesus in the Bible says, put away lying, which means that says, don't think that you have to protect yourself anymore. I'll do it for you. Amen? That's what he's telling you. Don't be afraid of what the consequences. Tell the truth, and I will protect you. The Bible says you will what? Know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But the world says a lie will make you free. That's what people teach you about lying. If you tell a lie and it's believable, you can get out. Or another way of saying, lying will set you free. That's a direct contradiction to what the scripture says. The truth sets you free, but the flesh says lying sets you free. So the Bible says, stop worrying about protecting yourself. Let me protect you. Let me be your protector. Let me be your standard, your wall, your bulwark, the high tower. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, but shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's a scripture of protection. And he says, I have an anger problem. Be angry and do not sin. What does that mean? It says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. So anger, he tells us, is a giving place to the devil. What do you do when you get angry? Well, first of all, why are you angry? Why do we get angry? Go back to Romans 3:23. Because we're trying to protect ourselves. We're mad about somebody doing something to us that they shouldn't have done. And sometimes we have legitimate anger. But the Bible says, don't be angry. Don't be angry. You can be angry, but don't sin. Well, how do you be angry and not sin? You might get mad, but let it stop right there. And just say, Lord, I forgive. I'm going to forgive him. I'm not going to go. Because anger makes you want to seek vengeance. Oh, they did that to me? Okay, okay, okay. Mm-hmm. Let me write that down. I'll keep a note on that one. And we'll get back to that one, as they say. I'll put a pin in it, and we'll get back to that, right? No, see, now you've sinned. Because in your mind, you've taken vengeance. Even if you've never done anything towards them, you've taken vengeance in your heart, and your heart has now been polluted by the vengeance you've plotted, even if you haven't acted on it. So anger, you can say, okay, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm not going to hold it against them. I don't know how I'm going to let it go, but I'm not going to hold it. And your mind will take you and says, nope, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go there. You fight, you resist anger.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
The only person you can really truly be angry at and then act it out is the devil. Because the way you act out against the devil is you pray. Because you can't hit the devil. You can't plot a scheme and trap the devil. You have to pray the devil away. So that's the only place where your anger can be properly directed towards. Anything else is wrong. Anything else becomes a sin because it's acting out against people. Amen? Now, that does not mean you can't report somebody who commits a crime against you. That's not the same thing. Okay, let's get these things straight. If somebody does you wrong and they have broken the law, you can report them. But you have to allow the system to deal with the retribution, not you. Okay, you with me on this? Because a lot of people get mixed up. Well, if they did wrong to me, does that mean I call the police? Absolutely, you call the police, and if they go to prison, you know, that's the result of their actions. But don't gloat. You should pray that God would change their hearts so they don't have to get themselves in these predicaments anymore. Now, these are all hard things to do because it's not an easy thing when somebody violates you. And whatever that means, steal, you know, physically, you know, whatever it is. But the Bible says you can be angry, but you cannot sin. There's other places it says don't even be angry. Then it says, the next thing it says, let him who stole steal no longer. And he says, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. So now you change from a thief to a giver. because your perspective is wrong. Instead of I need, you begin to work and you look at the needs of somebody else. See, a thief is very selfish. They think that your stuff is their stuff. That's what a thief says. That car is my car. I'm going to steal that car. That money is my money. Their credit cards are my credit cards. That's super selfish, and that goes back to Romans 3:23. All have sinned because they think their way is better than ours. You see how we have, and this is, and think about it in your kids' lives when kids grow up. What happens with kids when they get older? They get selfish, self-centered. Everything is about them. And as a result, the house begins to be torn apart because it's all about them. Nothing you do is enough. So you have to back them up if you can still get a hold of them. If you can't get a hold of them, guess what? That's when they have to move out. Because all have sinned and they won't repent. Are you with me here? So all these things, if we do, that's why I said wisdom comes not just from insight, but doing the insight. Going and see, with your children, you have to find out why is it. Now, sin is sin. We all know that. And everybody does sin. But there comes a point in our kids' lives that something triggers a downfall into sin. You guys know what I mean by that? There's an event. There's an encounter, there's something that triggers their slip. And we have to, sometimes they can't even articulate it. And you have to find out what that is. Because as soon as you find out what it is, help them to repent from that, then you can get them back on the right track. But they have to repent from the thing that pulled them into sin and continues to pull them into that sin. Are you with me here? This is a pattern. You can see this with any young person. When they start acting out at home, it's because they've started to engage in sinful behavior somewhere else, maybe even at the house. So you can almost always know when your kids are engaging in sinful behavior. Because they become very disrespectful to authority. They become very, I know what I'm doing, attitudes. Or they say things that, like, what did you just say? I remember my sons went through this too, you know. Some more than others, but I remember one of them was, they were, you know, we didn't allow non-gospel music in the house. I mean, look, there's everything, you can listen to, there's gospel rap, gospel rock, gospel jazz, gospel hip hop, you know, there's this, it covered the whole genre. There's no need for us to go to the secular side. But, you know how kids are, they want to hear what everybody else is hearing. So when they started driving, I started noticing behaviors. And after a while, I got a hold of some of their CDs. And then I listened to them. I couldn't even listen to them because they were so bad. And I said, now I understand what the mentality is coming, where the mentality is coming from. So we had to confront them to try and get them to see that this is the mentality of the song that you're listening to is pulling you down because they're lies. They're teaching you lies. When they say stuff like, and I can't remember even who, I don't care who wrote the song, but there's no heaven for a black man. Where is that in the Bible? You're going to jail or you're going to die if you're a black man. And then some about ghetto. And I said, we don't even have a ghetto in Seattle. I said, why would you buy into that foolishness? There is no, and you surely don't live in a ghetto. But because of what they were hearing, and that's why I said everything preaches to us. And that's why, remember, go back to 323. 323 is wisdom scripture that we don't even know is there. Because it gives you insight into people's behavior. So you have to deal with and put into practice the insights that God gives us from the scriptures. And because of that, we become wise people. Wise meaning that we know how to navigate our lives according to what the scriptures teach. Amen? So you get insight and then you do them. The third thing is we get wisdom by listening to people who understand, get this, both spiritual and the natural side of life. We love to talk to people who know about the natural side of life. And most elderly people who have gone through life understand from their mistakes, from their experience, how things work in the world. They do. Not fully, but they have a good grasp. But you need to get advice from people that only not only understand the natural side, but the spiritual side. Somebody that's come to grips with the fact that I need Jesus. I'm 90 years old and I need Jesus. I still have relatives that are old, in their 80s, still stewing over going to church when they were a kid. And they can't get over that hump to re-accept Christ in their lives. They say, the person said, I missed a lot of baseball games behind going to church. Oh, really? That's not very bright at 80. Because you, huh? Yeah. I mean, what good is that doing? I mean, okay, maybe you, let's say you played every game you wanted to play, and now what? At 80. That's like, when I quit playing football, I said, I'm not gonna be turning around talking about, oh man, I could have, would have, should have. And I know people that are in their 40s and their 50s still talking about, man, if I'd have only, man, it's over. It's over. You can't go back and play. You're too old. So why not learn from that and move on? But see, it's because people don't move on that they have hurts inside them. I haven't talked to my relative about why he feels the way he does because I don't know if he can articulate it. But there's some bitterness there. And until he addresses that bitterness, he can't receive Christ because the scripture says unless the root of bitterness takes hold in their hearts, in Hebrews. So we have to listen to people that both have a spiritual understanding to life and a natural. There are, it's not hard to learn how to make money in America especially. I mean, come on. Think about all the people who are billionaires. So you got Bill Gates. What did he do to make his money? He made a product, right? You got Facebook guy. What did he do? He developed a product. Well, Warren Buffett. You guys know who Warren Buffett is? Warren Buffett is like the second or third or fourth richest guy. You know how he made his money? Just investing. He didn't make anything, but he bought stocks. And now he's like the fourth, fifth, sometimes the second, he's worth 40, 50 billion. He's an old man. There's many, many ways to make money. You can buy real estate. Buy and sell real estate. You can learn how to invest and do what's called trading, trade stocks. And if you learn, there's people that have formulas that are, green light buy, red light sell. It's pretty easy. It's not. So there's ways to make money. That's not the problem. The problem is, what are you going to do with money if you get it? Because making money is not the purpose of life. Money is not a purpose. You get money, and what do you want to do with it? You want to use it for something. You want to buy a car. You want to buy a house. You want to take care of your family, or you want to go on vacation for the rest of your life. But money, you don't just get money to stack it up and look at it. Oh, look at all that money. I made all this money. And that's all I want to do is look at it. That's not the purpose of money. Purpose, money is a tool. Everybody say money is a tool. That's all it is. Money is just a tool. So why would I fight so hard to make money, or if you want to make it a tool, to get a hammer? Well, what do I want a hammer for? Well, I want to build something with a hammer. That's what I would do. That's why I would get a hammer, right? I wouldn't just stack my hammers on my tables and look at all my hammers. Right? Isn't that beautiful, hammers? Oh, man, I got a red hammer, a blue hammer, a purple hammer. I was going to get a gold one, but I haven't got it yet. I'm going to get one, though. That's not the purpose. That's not the purpose of money. Money is to do something with. The question is your heart right enough so that you can do the right things with it? Even before I became a Christian, I thought I was going to play in the NFL. And I'd already planned out my contract from the NFL. I had figured out I was going to make $500,000 a year. That was a lot in 1980. And I said that I'll live off of 100 and I'll give the rest away. I wasn't even a believer, and I understood that. When I got saved, then I understood it in a bigger way. Now, I didn't make it to the NFL. I haven't made $500,000 a year yet. And then I realized that wasn't much. I need to make more than that. But I still, with the money that I have made, learn to give money away. I always wanted to be a giver. I want to take care of my mom. I want to take care of my dad, my brothers and sisters. I don't want to be their providers, but I want to be able to help in times of need. And it's the worst thing in a family where a person dies and we can't even raise the money to bury them. That's embarrassing. It's embarrassing that they didn't think about it. I know. So some of it is on them, but it's also embarrassing that the family's not in a position to help. So what am I saying about this? We can learn how to make money. That's not the issue. What are we going to do with it? There's people that have money and families that won't help their own family members. And some of them I understand because they're not responsible. So you don't just throw money at people that are irresponsible. But you should be able to help. And that's the purpose of money. Money is a tool to help to do the things that we need. Yes, we need houses. Yes, we need cars. Yes, we need savings. We need to take care of our children. But other than that, what else is left with money? I mean, you've got all that. Why you keep stacking? What's the point? Can I get that money? Can I stack $100 bills to the top of that? Let me see if I could do that. What's the point? So you need to talk and you need wisdom from people who have spiritual and natural understanding. Let's read Proverbs 11, 14, and 12, 15, then we're going to close. Proverbs 11, 14 says, "Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." Now, most of us have heard that scripture. But it all has to do with good counsel. The world is not does not lack somebody that has an opinion. But not all opinions are the same. You know, people say stuff and you hear it and it's like, yeah, I don't know about that one. And people have to be called out because their opinions are strange. I'm going to read 12:1 and then I'm going to read 12:15. "Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid." I don't think that says that in the old King James version, but the new King James says that. So in other words, if you don't receive instruction from somebody who has a right to instruct you, that's the qualifier. Because everybody does not have the right to instruct you. And I have to say this too, even your family members. Okay? Because they don't have a spiritual insight. So we can't just settle for natural advice. We have to get spiritual insight. Because it's going to last us for a while. But 12:15 says this. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. The scripture says a fool is the person that says in their heart, what? Huh? Say it out loud. That there is no God. So a fool, according to the scripture, is a person that doesn't believe in God. So you have to be careful about, that's not to say that people that don't believe in God can't teach you anything, but you have to remember Romans 3:23, all have sinned, and so is there advice to help you grow spiritually as well as naturally, or is it just naturally? Because the flesh is temporary. The spirit lives forever. So spiritual insight lives forever. Temporary insight, temporal insight, or natural insight only lives for this world. Amen? So I've laid out a few simple things, and you'll look at Romans 3:23 more different than you've ever looked at it from here on out. We always look at that as a scripture that helps people to come to Christ, and it does. But it's also a help for us to learn how to, the hearts of people. You have to learn the hearts of people in order to deal with people. You got to know where people are coming from so that you can approach them in the right way. And when you know everybody's out for themselves, and this is not any revelation, don't be surprised when they take advantage of you, because that's what they're out to do. Not every, but I hope that's not the believers in the house, but that's the world. That's what the world is out to do. So when we're looking for mates, when we're looking for friends, when we're looking for acquaintances, when we're looking for partners, when we're looking for business associates, when we're looking for employers and employees, remember Romans 3:23 and see how deep into the all of sin part there the people that you're dealing with really are in, and to see if you can help them get out of that quagmire, if you will. You know what a quagmire is? It's a mud hole is what a quagmire is. All right? I hope this is helpful. I know this is untraditional wisdom talk, but this is wisdom. This is the way the scriptures teach. This is the way we operate in wisdom. It's not some nefarious thought person that's just out in the blue and just contemplating. I'm just thinking and God is, no, God doesn't just give you ideas so you can just think about them. He gives you ideas so you can put them into practice. So if God gives you a revelation, it's for today. It's not for, I'm going to hold on to this and just hold on. No, if God gives you an insight, it's for you to use. It's not for you to hoard. Remember the guy who got the talent. And he got the one talent, and what did he do with it? He buried it. And that's essentially what happens if we take, God gives you an idea and you don't do anything with it. That's a burying. Amen? So I hope this is helpful. I hope this is insightful. I hope you see that wisdom is more than just reading the book of Proverbs, but it's doing what the scriptures say do. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Any prayer requests? Like I said, remember Dan, Chris Bartow's family, stepdad. Keep praying for him. Anybody have prayer requests or need prayer for anything? No? Everybody's good? Jay?
Just for quick healing.
Quick healing? Okay. For you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for a quick healing for Jane. Whatever it is that she's dealing with, Lord, we touch her by your spirit. Put your hand on her, Unique. We lay hands on her. We speak life to her body. We speak life to her mind. We speak life to her spirit. And we command every part of her body to conform to the way that you created it. And so, Lord, we thank you that by your stripes, Jane is healed from whatever condition that she has. And we send your word to Dan, Lord. We command this tumor that's affecting his brain. We command it to shrink. We command it to pass from his body. And we command him to be completely delivered from this condition. We thank you that it's not cancerous, but it doesn't matter. It's hindering his life. And we command it to go in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for everybody under the sound of my voice. I pray that you would bless us, Lord God. Give us insight. Help us to learn to walk in wisdom and wise counsel and desire wise counsel from those that know you as well as the things of this world. Thank you for speaking to our hearts today. Continue to let your word germinate in our spirit as we go forward, because your word, your spirit comes to lead us and to guide us into all truth.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.